At Kroger, we want our fresh produce to meet your expectations, which is why we're dedicated to doing up to a 27-point inspection on our fruits and veggies, checking for things like scarring. In fact, only the best produce, like zesty oranges and crisp carrots, reach our shelves. Because when it comes to fresh, our higher standards mean fresher produce. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save a Dollar Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save a dollar each with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
So, what do you know about diversity, inclusion, and equity, or DEI for short? What do you know about it? Well, we can look at these words. By the way, folks, let me just dispel the mystery right now. Diversity, inclusion, equity is another way of saying Marxism. It's another way of dressing up cultural Marxism and you losing your rights and liberties. That's in essence what it's all about. But the words themselves sound so nice, don't they? Diversity, inclusion, who doesn't want to be included? Equity. Now, equity is not equality. As a matter of fact, equity rejects equality. Because as the left-wingers explain it, giving everybody an equal opportunity is no longer enough. Now, the leftists, the Marxists, who are interested in basically sowing permanent divisions in our society, they say to little black children, and they say to little Latino children, you are inherently inferior. You can't achieve what little white girls and little white boys do without government's help. And the way they illustrate this, I don't know if you folks have seen this, but it's out there on Intellectual Takeout. Intellectual Takeout. This is how they describe equality versus equity. They depict a white boy as being tall, a white girl less tall, and a black boy less tall. Teeny weeny. And they put them on equal books, high school standards or high standards. And because this is what equality is, according to the Marxists, because the black person starts out in life disadvantaged in life because of the color of their skin, No, even if they're given equal opportunity, they will never measure up because they're black. The same goes, even though it's not graphically illustrated here, the same goes for Latino babies. So basically what the Marxists are saying to black kids and to brown kids, you are born inferior to whites. So you must empower government to give you a stack full of books to make sure that you are on the same level with all the white kids who have been given all these advantages over the years. By the way, the little girl also is given some extra leg up because the bad guy, the guy who was born with the proverbial silver spoon in his mouth, is the white male, the white little boy. When it turns out with this equity thing, the white person is the most discriminated against in our society. So again, if I'm going to describe this graphic, it's on one side equality, and it shows the same resources being given, but the white boy is depicted as being taller and more advantageous because of his height than the girl, than the black kid. And then when equity is applied, then the black kid is given all of this extra stuff, courtesy of government, mind you, to achieve just as much as the white kid, because the black kid is not capable. And by extension, the Latino kid is not capable because they are born disadvantaged. And that is this predicate that has been laid out by left-wingers, that America is inherently a racist country. Let me read the description of this again from Intellectual Takeout. Particularly in education, there's been a shift in terminology away from equality and towards equity. You may have noticed it in the media, on campuses, or in political discussions. Often a graphic like the one below is used to show the difference. Essentially, what the equity movement is claiming is that providing equal resources does not result in equal outcomes. Of course, you're not supposed to have equal outcomes. None of us are equal. We're all created equal in the eyes of God, but we all have individual talents. We're to be given equal opportunity, and it's up to us to make something out of it. That's the American way, not the equity way. So basically, equity says that providing equal resources is not enough to give us equal outcome results, which is not what we're supposed to be after anyway. In so doing, they charge that equal opportunity isn't possible, and to create equal outcomes, equity is required. In some ways, the graphic alone reminds one of the idea made most famous by Karl Marx. And so it is. It is pure, unadulterated Marxism. Now, what about the whole diversity thing? Diversity. What diversity? And of course, they mean skin color. You know, you got to have Latinos, you got to have blacks, you got to have whites. Everybody represented equally in government. Really? Are we represented equally in the country? No. So why do we have to be represented equally in government? And should the standard be diversity in government? Well, according to Karine Jean-Pierre, Beijing Biden's new brain, oh, absolutely that should be the standard. Listen.
Diversity and representation is really important to this president, and you know, we are going to look at, the president's going to look at a highly diverse group of world-class economists, and just as we did for the previous Fed nomination, so we're going to continue that process.
Yeah, what about competency? Oh, no, just diversity is the only qualification. No competency is required, and that's emblematic of Beijing Biden's administration, is it not? The administration of dotting the I's, checking the boxes with not finding the best qualified people. But Joe Biden's administration is full of a bunch of racists that disqualify qualified people based on the color of their skin.
But I want to take the opportunity to lay out how diverse the president's cabinet has been, how diverse the president's administration has been. The cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history. The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history. A majority of White House senior staff identify as female. 40% of White House senior staff identify as part of the racially diverse communities. And a record 7 assistants to the president's are openly LGBTQ+. So, again, this is something that the president prides himself on.
So the hell what? So what? So is government competent? No. No, it is not. Is government doing its job? No. But it's diverse? Oh, fantastic. Folks, try making the trains run on time. Try getting garbage service done. Try getting your transportation secretary out to a railway disaster out in East Palestine, Ohio, based on diversity. No, it doesn't happen. You are hiring people based on the wrong criteria. In government, we should have the most qualified people. Diversity should not even be a part of the equation. It doesn't matter that you're gay. It doesn't matter that you're black. It doesn't matter that you're brown. It doesn't matter that you're white. None of it matters. Only your competency. You know who said that? That the only thing that matters is your character? Because I would say to you that if you're a person of good character, you don't allow a small town that voted for Trump in Ohio to languish after getting chemically nuked if you have good moral character, which says everything about Mayor Pete Buttigieg and this administration. Frankly, the American society should be judging our politicians and those who serve in government and the rest of us, frankly, by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, as Dr. Martin Luther King prescribed. But the Biden regime, Karine Jean-Pierre, this equity movement, they stand in stark opposition, in stark contrast to the unifying message of Dr. Martin Luther King. They are the antithesis of Dr. King. And you should condemn them, I condemn them, and we should start dissecting this diversity, inclusion, equity movement, and revealing precisely what it is. It is a Marxist movement. It is an anti-freedom movement. It is an enslavement movement. It is a movement dedicated to removing your protections against government tyranny. We shall begin the education process next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Tired of cable news lying to you? It's time the establishment media went the way of the dinosaurs and for free digital journalism to rise. At Texas Scorecard, we bring you real news for real Texans with no paywalls ever. Go to texasscorecard.com today.
Folks, I want to get to our guests. First off, Robert Montoya. He is no stranger to the Salcedo Storm podcast. He is with the Texas Scorecard. Also, Scott Yenner. He is a senior director of state coalitions at the Claremont Institute and a professor of political science at Boise State University. He got his PhD from Loyola University Chicago, and he has published four books, including The Recovery of Family Life, Exposing the Limits of Modern Ideologies from Baylor in 2020. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
All right. Scott, since you're new to the podcast, I want to, folks, what you got to know is that this whole podcast is going to be dedicated to the examination of diversity, inclusion, and equity, or for short, DEI. That is the current push by the American left and the mechanism by which they are stealing your constitutional rights. So, Scott, I think I'm going to let you tee us off with your experience first.
Well, I am a professor up here at Boise State University in Idaho, and I had a couple of kind of run-ins with the woke crowd over the course of my career. I'm still a tenured professor at Boise State, and this year I am on sabbatical. And I started to wonder why it was happening. Like, why were people going after perfectly legitimate scholarship in my particular case? And what I found were documents that the university had prepared to transform the university and transform the state. And they talked in that language. And I was pretty shocked. I mean, I knew things like this were afoot, but I kind of did not know it was happening at my own university. And at that point, I talked to friends, both in the legislature and in, you know, other fields of the ideas, and came up with the idea of writing a report on what was happening at the university, how they were changing the curriculum, how they're changing the goals and policies of the university to fit in with what you are calling the DEI revolution. And so I wrote about a 30-page report on what was happening at Boise State, and then we did one on what was happening at University of Idaho, and then other places just said, hey, could you help us out and help us figure out what's going on in our own university systems? And that is how I stumbled across doing something on Texas A&M. I have long admired Texas A&M as a public university, but obviously things have gone off the rails there when it comes to the DIE revolution. And what I try to do in my report is document, using the university's own words and statements, what was going on at the university.
All right. So, Mr. Montoya, you as a journalist with Texas Scorecard, I'm sure have found Mr. Yenner's investigations and research quite interesting, yes?
Yes, and also very saddening and shocking, but unsurprising, because this cultural virus, diversity, inclusion, equity, we call it divide, indoctrinate, excommunicate, because practically that's what it does. It's been spreading across the West for a long time now, and practically for people to know exactly what this does, you just have to look at the Walt Disney Company, because it went to the business community first, we found. Last year, Florida passed the Parental Rights Education Act, which was in response to deviant sexual indoctrination taking place in public schools there. Well, Disney eventually came to publicly oppose the law, and thanks to investigative reporter Christopher Ruffo, it showed a direct link between that action and Disney's DIE program. In fact, there was a link between that program and internal encouragement to push deviant sexual indoctrination in the company's programming. So practically, that's what the threat is of this kind of programming going on. It went from business, and we were finding it also spread to state and local governments in Texas.
Okay, so now let's get to some of the specifics. Mr. Yenner, it is very tough for a conservative who escaped the People's Republic of California in 2006 to come here to the free state of Texas to admit that this agenda, this left-wing Marxist agenda, has found its way into the great state of Texas and has been allowed to flourish in so-called institutions of higher learning. What did you find out?
Yeah, the principal things about Texas A&M is that they have been pursuing a pretty aggressive diversity, inclusion, and equity agenda since 2010. And their main goals have been to achieve what they call equity, which is equal outcomes between the races and sexes, and an improved campus climate, which is what they mean by more and more people accepting the principles of the diversity, inclusion, and equity regime. And they have been steadily, you know, adding new programs to achieve, or at least try to achieve or say they are achieving equity, and to improve so-called the campus culture. And so they've done a lot of job training and student training and promotion and tenure committee training and recruitment of minority candidates or people with diversity skills. They spent, you know, probably more than $10 million a year on programming for this. And it's difficult to know exactly. They don't have a line item for diversity, inclusion, and equity in their budget. They've changed the curriculum, watered it down. What used to be a requirement that everyone take an American government class, now you have a lot of options, including many classes that are in the DIE, in the DIE paradigm. And you know, they've gotten rid of requirements for foreign language and physical fitness that used to be there in the curriculum. So it's a changed university. You know, they've added women's centers and LGBTQ studies and LGBTQ centers, all in the name of inclusion. And so, you know, they've intentionally set out to transform the university. And over the course of time, especially as they've hit the gas pedal on these programs, people feel less and less at home on the Texas A&M University. I've written this, I think it's clear in the report, but there was also something that I wrote on the James Martin Center for Academic Renewal, where all races, whites, Hispanics, and blacks are the ones that they focus on in the reporting, feel less at home at Texas A&M since they began adopting all of these programs. So, you know, I think it's a good university with excellent parts still, but, you know, there are elements of it that are sick and that need to be kind of cut out. And but instead, what the university does is double down on their policies. Like, the reason people don't feel like they're at home, they say, is that we haven't gone far enough in pushing climate and diversity and equity. And these policies are obviously, you know, just not going to achieve the goal that they say they're going to achieve. And it makes you think they have a different goal, which is to achieve a kind of ideological hegemony on the campuses, that they pursue equity, they pursue climate and inclusion, they say, but they really want to create an intellectual monoculture on the universities and to make conservatives and Americans feel uncomfortable.
Right.
On the universities.
And that is precisely, I think you've nailed on the head, that is what they're doing. And Mr. Montoya, in the state of Texas that is majority conservative and parents want to send their kids to institutions of higher learning, they are unaccustomed to the idea of Marxist and left-wing thought. The idea behind Marxist and left-wing thought is that everybody will love it once everybody's forced to comply with it. That's the only way Marxism works, is if everybody is forced to comply with it. And that's the problem. They are not forced. They don't want to be forced, but that's the only way that Marxism works, is through this force. And in history, you and I know that when this all happens, people aren't happy on the other side. They are miserable on the other side.
Correct. In fact, we found this Marxist approach in one area that's often thought to be strongly Republican. That's the city government of Fort Worth. They have a DIE delusion going on there. And for a backtrack, October 2020, they hired Christina Brooks as their chief equity officer. She has a long history of DIE work. She even served as the first diversity and inclusion officer under then mayor and currently controversial Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. Now, this is what's really shocking. They had proposed a mandated diversity training Fort Worth had for all employees for every 3 years. But two stumbling blocks were listed in their proposal, one being resistance from employees. But apparently for the city staff putting this together, that wasn't a problem. Here's the quote. The city of Fort Worth faced similar resistance when it rolled out mandatory LGBTQ training and was able to persevere by making expectations clear and non-negotiable. Translation, no matter if you had conservative staff in the city, you were going to abide by this, you were going to shut up, fall in line, and obey. And that's actually very shocking. We gave Mayor Maddie Parker multiple opportunities to reply to our request for comment. She has yet to.
That's very interesting. And this is the issue. Is it a government of, by, and for the people, or is it a government of, by, and for the government? This is government saying we know best and we don't give a damn what the people say. We're going to implement this. And that's what's completely scary about this. Folks, we're talking with Robert Montoya. He is a reporter for the Texas Scorecard. And Scott Yenner, he's a senior director of state coalitions at the Claremont Institute and a professor of political science at Boise State University. Mr. Yenner, the number one question now springing up in a lot of people's minds hearing this podcast, how can we defend ourselves against this? If our government is compromised, what are we the people to do? Is it a simple matter of denying government the funds to implement this? Because that's where my gut tells me is, fine, you want to implement this diversity, inclusion, equity, nonsense, DIE initiative? Fine, do it without my money. You can do it on your own dime. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think Florida in many ways is pointing the way for how DIE can be fought. I mean, first of all, we need universities. We're not going to be able to destroy universities. They're among the oldest institutions in the Western world. They're older than the nation state. They're older than Protestantism. They've been around. They're really sewn into the fabric of America in some way. I would like to see their importance lessened, but I don't think they can be, you know, destroyed. And
well, I'm not talking about just to interrupt, Mr. Yenner. I'm not talking about simply the institutions of higher learning. I'm talking about the infection from the institutions of higher learning that infects government. That we have to make this DIE agenda persona non grata in every aspect of American life. Diversity, inclusion, equity is not compatible with the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, and I think that elected officials have to become aware of who they are putting in places of authority and are going to determine the culture of governmental institutions and higher ed university. And I think that, I think Florida is pointing the way because they're placing people in positions of authority in university president positions, board of regent positions, people who serve on boards of medicine, people who serve on other kinds of boards, like local culture boards, are becoming aware of the DEI threat, and that is the price of admission to getting appointed to those positions. And we're going to have public administration, and the officials that get appointed have to be aware and recognize the threat that these ideologies pose to the American way of life. And if our politicians who are appointing such people are asleep at the wheel, then the car is going to drift to the left and going to go off the cliff. And so I think that's the first thing that has to be done is an awareness of the importance of personnel when we're making decisions. And instead of just sliding along, being very cognizant of what the virtues and vices of the people we're putting into place.
Well,
Second, I just think that when it comes to universities specifically, defunding the offices along with changing personnel who are running them is going to be the best way to kind of excise such offices out of the university. But not just, you know, defunding the offices, firing the personnel that used to work with them so that it becomes a career non-starter that you have served in a DEI office.
Yes, a scarlet letter. If you serve a DIE office, it's a scarlet letter. You are branded an anti-American. You are branded an anti-constitutionalist. You're branded an anti-freedom, anti-choice individual. And you have no place in government. You have no place in academia. You have no place in civilized, cordial, constitutional American society. And that leads me to you, Mr. Montoya. Who knows about this in the Texas legislature? Couldn't the Texas legislature basically ban all DIE, diversity, inclusion, equity programs in the state, saying if you participate in this or any of its tenets on the state level in any government, then you will be subject to punishment from the state?
Well, since cities, counties are creations of the Texas legislature, they do have that power. They also have the power to hold higher education accountable. The question is, will they do that? And it's also important, Chris, to remember, it can't just be targeting DIE, because, you know, if you just focus on the brand name, they can rebrand it and call it something else.
Right.
You have to focus practically on what it does.
That's what I said.
And there's something
the tenets. I said the DIE and its tenets.
Correct.
Yes.
There's also something very practical the Texas legislature can do in regards to education. Because you have out there right now the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. They're the accrediting body. And unfortunately, they're a pretty Soviet-like organization. Dr. Andrew Gillen of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, he covered how they threatened the University of North Carolina Trustee Board when they issued a program saying that woke won't be in control of that school. Well, Gillen told us, and right now we even have Tarrant County College. Their certificate with that organization is up for renewal on March 1st. Gillen told us, unfortunately, the current Texas code often still requires Texas colleges to use that Southern Association. He says that should be remedied in the upcoming legislative session. That's something the Trump administration already did. They changed federal regulations to allow colleges to use any accreditor they wish. That's something very practical that can be done this session when it comes to education.
Well, let me ask that of Mr. Yenner, too, because look, as opposed as I am to the DIE, diversity, inclusion, equity agenda, because it does none of those things. Basically, DIE, folks, is cultural Marxism. It is Marxism, pure and simple. So as much as I oppose that, as an American, I'm not going to sit there. I don't think constitutionally I can ban it, because I'm not going to destroy the Constitution to preserve it. But I'll be damned if any government money should go to it. So if you, as private institutions, private educational institutions, you want to specialize in DIE, you go for it, but you do so on your own dime, and you con a whole bunch of these other left-wing nutjob Americans to spend their hard-earned money to send their little skulls of mush to your higher institutional learning. But no, zero tax dollars to this. Is that a solution?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a solution. You know, the difficulty with the American higher education system is that even the private schools, I'm putting that in quotes, are kind of public schools, because so much of their budget comes from student loans that are directly guaranteed by the national government. And that is a lever that the national government uses to ratchet reforms in private institutions. So private institutions, for instance, you know, can have racial preferences, and they run up against the law when they do, because they're accepting, you know, public funds. So, I mean, the division between public and private isn't very neat when it comes to this stuff. And in the case of DEI, I think what that means is that the governments, both state and national, have more of a lever even against private schools to make sure that they are obeying laws that are passed when it comes to, like, what kind of programs they should have on the school. So, I totally agree with you in principle about the distinction between public and private schools. It's just that we've kind of erased that because of the overweening nature of the national government and its intrusion into the higher ed sphere.
Well, no, and I don't disagree with that. But again, if it can be done, it can be undone. And this idea that it can't be undone is something the conservative never accepts. If you can impose improper government intrusion into where it doesn't belong, you can certainly undo it. So, Mr. Montoya, I know this is going to be an emphasis at Texas Scorecard. Are there any efforts that you're aware of for private groups to make sure that lawmakers in Austin are aware of the threat of DIE, diversity, inclusion, and equity, what it really does behind those flowery and seemingly benign words?
Well, I can tell you there does seem to be a tidal wave going on in the populace of real concern about DIE, the damage it's been doing. It's been doing damage in the business world, and now we've seen all the damage wreaking havoc in public schools. And, you know, the fact that you have, like, you know, the Austin Public Health Department, they have an equity academy that talks about how systemic racism can function even in the absence of racist ideas, which, for me, that's just creating hostile work environments. There does seem to be a growing tidal wave in the culture, and I think more and more people are probably contacting the legislature saying, hey, do something about this. I'll encourage everyone, please do contact the Texas legislature. They're in session right now. There are practical things they can do. They created the cities. They created the counties. They hold the higher institutions of education accountable. They also have control over the public schools. They are the ones who can eliminate this completely from our state, and they have to, because if they don't, this is stuff that can lead to an insurgency of racial division and violence. I mean, it wasn't too long ago we had the George Floyd situation, and I tell you right now, I came from Cincinnati, where in around the 2000s we had 3 days of riots that was a culmination of continued, you know, bigotry and hate mongering, talking about racial divisions, when in reality, there weren't any. It was just being driven by a bunch of race hustlers.
Yeah.
That's what's at stake here.
All right. Well, you know what? My final question to both of you, Mr. Yenner, you get to go first. If you were instructing just Joe Public, somebody who says, I have no idea what diversity, inclusion, equity is all about. I hear something about it. I see the government's doing some things I don't like, or maybe if you're a left winger, I see that the government is doing what I want it to be, I want it to be totalitarian and all encompassing. But if you were going to explain to somebody what DIE is and why it should be avoided, how would you explain it?
The fundamental principle of that ideology, of the diversity, inclusion, and equity ideology, is that there are inequalities in society, and those inequalities can only be explained by oppressors holding the oppressed down. And DEI ideology is supposed to liberate the oppressed and punish the oppressors. The oppressed are blacks, gays, and women. The oppressors are whites, straights, and men. So when white, straights, and men get to campus, they will be punished and not rewarded, while the others will, the institution will be organized around their desires and preferences. And many of the things that will happen on campus are designed to cater to the so-called oppressed, and many of the things on campus are designed to punish the so-called oppressors. And I think that's the fundamental reality of diversity, inclusion, and equity on campuses. I mean, I think there's like things that are changed around the edges. So for instance, Clarence Thomas wouldn't count as black because he doesn't think right. Certain kinds of like white liberal women will be accepted because even though they're white, because of their opinions. But for the most part, it's about breaking people down according to skin color and defining oppression and oppressors according to skin color, sex, and orientation.
And all that will do in the end is continue division, continue resentment, which we had almost turned the corner on that before the election of Barack Hussein Obama. We had almost put divisions in this country, on race anyway, behind us. And with his election, they knew they were in trouble, so they came up with this new diversity, inclusion, equity model that would be basically their new civil rights movement, another mechanism by which they could deny us constitutional rights and liberties. Mr. Montoya, give a folks a bit of a preview of what you're going to be covering on Texas Scorecard about DIE.
Right. So we just launched an investigative series where we expose how you have an insurgency of wokeness in our state and local governments. We look at the Texas Department of Health and Human Services, Texas State Library. You have DIE in San Antonio, Fort Worth, Dallas. And really how this is creating insurgency of wokeness that threatens to tear our culture apart. It sets man against man. It promotes a lot of division. But also, there's subtle bigotry here. Let me tell you exactly, in San Antonio city government, supervisors there were encouraged to remove certain phrases from job descriptions like 100% follow-through, be professional, customer service. These were deemed as relics of, quote, white supremacy culture. Now, Chris, I can tell you right now, as fellow Latinos, you get what that's saying? That's implying that non-whites, like you and me, we lack the capacity to be professional, to have follow-through. So this is not just divisive, it's also bigoted. It uses the language that used to have millions of Americans enslaved. This is hateful, and it must be eliminated completely.
Right, and it's telling little black babies and little brown babies that, hey, you don't need to be professional. You don't need to be successful. That's white supremacy. You need to be, as one influencer on TikTok said, say, hey, you need to be thug. You need to go out there. It's part of your culture to be criminals. And that's what the left-wing Marxists, with the aid of a guy by the name of George Soros, are trying to do culturally. Gentlemen, Scott Yenner, he is a senior director of state coalitions at the Claremont Institute and a professor of political science at Boise State University. Also, Robert Montoya, he is a reporter for Texas Scorecard. I appreciate the discussion, and I hope we get this on a whole bunch of people's radar screens. DIE, diversity, inclusion, and equity. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, that's going to put a wrap on this Friday edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor. Check out TexasScorecard.com and their fantastic work they are doing exposing DIE, diversity, inclusion, equity. It is just another way to divide us, just another way to impose Marxism and socialism on this country, to do away with the protections that were given to us by the Constitution, ways to empower government to lord over us against the Constitution. Just understand what it is. It's the same people who have been dividing us for years using another mechanism that they created out of whole cloth. All right. So just when you know that, it's easy to combat it. All right. So check out Texas Scorecard. Also check out the Chris Salcedo Show on ChrisSalcedo.com. ChrisSalcedo.com. That's how you track us down on KSEV, the Voice of Texas, and on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5 every day, and always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. By the way, folks, when you're there at ChrisSalcedo.com, check out our social media hookups, won't you? Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. See ya.